Welcome back to another episode of the Simply Hoop Show. I know it's been a long time. Appreciate everybody for listening. I got my guy Pete here from the Unquestionably Raw podcast. Pete, thanks you for coming on again.
Absolutely, Chris. Happy to be here, man.
So the first thing I want to start off with is this whole Shaq versus JaVale McGee argument. Not even the fact that Shaq is kind of sort of bullying him. Me personally, I love how entertaining the NBA has been this whole season off the court. Like, it just seems to be so much more like pettiness in a way, like kind of high schoolish, but it's so entertaining. Like, I love it.
Yeah, you had the whole Barkley, you know, and LeBron and all that stuff got kind of blown out of proportion. And then now you got basically his co-host, Shaquille O'Neal, kind of chiming in. He's dogged on JaVale McGee since, you know, basically McGee came into the league.
Three, four years?
It's been a while.
Man.
And the thing about Shaq is Shaq does it for shock value, basically to, you know, get ratings for the show. But now it kind of flipped and turned into, you know, JaVale McGee had enough. And he has a point. You know, Shaq doesn't do anything production-wise for, you know, Shaq and the Fool. You know, it's all basically, you know, the TNT staff, and he's just there to, you know, throw out, you know, let me do the highlights, and that's about it. And even with his analysis, it's not really a intriguing analysis. It's, well, back when I played, you know, so-and-so was barbecue chicken, and you know,
that's exactly what he says every breakdown, barbecue chicken. I think that people love Shaq, though, because he's not there for, like, the real basketball talk. Like, I look more to Kenny for that. I feel like Shaq is there purely to be entertaining. Like, literally, that's all he's on there for. That's it. Nothing else.
It's going to be interesting, though, with Chris Bosh now being a part of TNT for the next 5 weeks, because Bosh is very well-spoken. He knows the game. He's just kind of very dry. So I don't know if Shaq is going to kind of pull him out of his shell and you know, kind of have some pranks going and things like that. With Garnett kind of on there, it would have been interesting to see kind of like a second panel with, like, Garnett, Bosh, and, you know, maybe somebody else.
Yeah, that would have been good.
There as well. That would have been kind of cool.
But I like the whole Area 21 thing, how he kind of has different, like, past legends come on the show. Yeah, mm-hmm. Gary Payton and White Chocolate. Like, that was dope to me. I love that feature where they kind of go up to KG, and he's just up there kind of in his own world, because he has, like, a different personality. And I love that whole area of it. But one thing that really made me laugh was Kevin Durant speaking on the situation with JaVale McGee and Shaq, and he said that Shaq didn't have any skill. And me personally, I think Shaq was the best big man behind Hakeem Olajuwon. I think he was like second best big man like ever. So that's just laughable that KD would say he doesn't have any skill, you know. So KD's kind of putting a target on his back now.
I mean, Shaq was the most dominant. Think about this, though. Like, if Shaq would have maintain the weight that he had his rookie season throughout his career, imagine what he could have done to, you know, opposing big men, you know, being able to get up and down the floor. You know, he slowed down, he had more of a power game, but it also affected his, you know, fatigue and quickness. Remember his rookie season and when they went to the finals, I mean, he was, you know, blowing by guys and you know, able to dunk, you know, still with power and skill. I mean, he's probably I would put him the third best center of all time. You know, second best recent era, but third all time, because I've got to put Kareem, then Olajuwon, then Shaq.
Yeah, it's always hard to rate the centers, man. There's so many good ones, so many.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
A tough race.
Oh yeah.
So as far as trades go, like,
yeah,
just in your opinion, what was the biggest trade? I mean, other than obviously DeMarcus Cousins, I have to say it, but I feel like the Kings have just taken over that spot to be like the worst organization in sports again. It's like them and the Knicks are fighting for it, you know? Like,
oh yeah,
it's just so bad. I always knew that they were going to give up DeMarcus Cousins, but I don't understand how you don't get much more back. I think that they really need to get rid of their owner. If you get rid of him, then you can improve the situation somehow. But as long as he's there, it's just, it's not going to work.
Well, for me, I look at it as, I look at it on both sides. First, the positive with Sacramento. You get Buddy Hield. He still has untapped potential. You know, he had, 16 points last night, you know, did pretty well. You open up a lot of minutes for Willie Cauley-Stein, so you really get to see what you have, and you're basically playing your young guys. Well, on the flip side of that, it's DeMarcus Cousins, the best center in the NBA, and you get Buddy Hield and, you know, some scraps, you know, back for him, and, you know, all because the owner, Vivek Ranadive, is enamored with, you know, Buddy Hield as a prospect. Now, the key to look at is DeMarcus Cousins didn't have a lot of value on the trade market, as weird as that sounds. Many teams did not want to take the headache, you know, of his, you know, on the court technicals, off the court, you know, screaming at reporters and cursing about other teams and stuff like that. They didn't want anything to do with that. And for Sacramento, this actually gives them a really, really big chance to push and push, you know, the young guys and upset, you know, kind of Denver for that eighth spot there. Because I think it's really going to come down to Sacramento, Denver, and a surprise team. I think Dallas is going to start stringing, you know, some wins together.
Oh, Dallas.
As well. So I don't think.
You believe in Nerlens Noel that much?
I think that on the defensive end, he's going to be able to do some things that they didn't have, you know, previously. You know, having Dirk at center, you know, you're not going to block shots. So Noel helps there. He can rebound. And now you've got somebody that can actually roll to the rim and, you know, basically play the high pick and roll. So he's going to help. I think New Orleans, as great as Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins are together, they don't have a lot of perimeter help. You've got Drew Holiday running the point guard spot, but at two guard, you've got Etuan Moore, who's a combo guard. You've got Hollis Thompson on a 10-day contract. Small forward, you've got Solomon Hill, who's really a defensive guy first, doesn't do a lot on offense. Omri Caspi's out probably for the rest of the season now. So you don't have a lot of depth there on the team to really put around him. So kind of, sort of, it's like the super combo up front and nothing else for them. Portland, terrible defensively. They're not getting any better with the Nurkic acquisition. So Dallas has a chance to climb up, you know, over those two. And Sacramento, I mean, they're just out to prove everybody wrong on this trade. So we'll see.
Yeah, Sacramento is one of those teams, man. They're going to be climbing. Whenever I look at an NBA team, I always try to see, okay, where are they now? Where can they be in a year? Like next year at the same time, I don't see how the Kings will be improved. They're literally one of the worst teams when it comes to drafting. It is so bad. It's almost unbelievable how bad they are at drafting. Since they've been picking players, they've passed on Klay Thompson, Curry, Lillard, and it seems like every guy they get is a good pick, but somehow they mess it up and get rid of them, like Hassan Whiteside, Isaiah Thomas. They just lose all of the good players they do even have. So I'm hoping that somehow they can, I don't know, I feel like it's going to take the team relocating or something, but I know this move upset the fans too, because now the fans, before, they kind of felt like maybe they might be trying something and we may not hear about it. But when you just look up and your star is gone after the All-Star game, he hasn't even came back. Oh, my God. That's just, oh, man. I know that has to be painful as a fan.
I would say, like, real quick, I'm going to go back to Sacramento with, Whiteside. When he was there, he was not – he's immature now, but he was really immature and was not ready for the NBA at all. Now they totally got fleeced on the deal for Isaiah Thomas. I mean, that was basically, you know, something that should never have given up. The problem I have with them is they cannot draft. They basically, you pick Jimmer Fredette, you know, you get
so bad.
Nick Stauskas. Now, Stauskas has turned in, you know, to be pretty good in Philadelphia as far as a good rotation player that can, you know, solidly contribute. But outside of that, I mean, you know, not a lot shown right now. You pick Georgios Papagiannis in the lottery, who basically, he was a guy that was not even in most people's first-round mock drafts. So I just don't know, you know, kind of where their heads are with it. You've got Rudy Gay, who's got a player option next year coming off an injury. Probably won't play till, you know, January or so. So you've got a lot to think about these last, what, you know, 20-some games, you know, going into the offseason, see if you can make it work. But as far as Philadelphia goes, I'm a little bit disappointed because I wanted Okafor to be traded, right? Not Noel.
That would have been the guy to get rid of, is Okafor, because Noel has a lot more potential. And I feel like it's like, is it me or is it like obvious? It's painfully obvious that Nerlens Noel is better than Jahlil Okafor. Like, it's obvious. We can see it. Like, when they play, and I don't think they even played alongside each other a lot. I saw something, it was like 3 minutes or something like that. But just when you watch them play individually, you can see that Nerlens Noel is way better. So it's just, that was always strange to me. Like, why would you get rid of a better big man? I mean, I get you want to get rid of big man, but you have to get rid of the worst one, obviously.
I think what their mindset was, they were actually going to get rid of both of them. Noel, for the reason that they weren't confident of paying him, you know, a large sum of money in restricted free agency. And with Okafor, they just couldn't get a deal done that basically fit what Brian Colangelo wanted to do. And the thing about Colangelo is, you know, his first press conference, he basically said, well, we're not taking on salary. You know, we don't want to take these dead contracts. And he's taken on like 4 dead contracts, you know, of guys that don't even play in the league. Then, you know, he makes a short-sighted deal of Noel to Dallas, gets back scraps, you know, for that, basically 2 second rounders. And you get a guy that's not even going to play for your team in Andrew Bogut. And I feel like you're not putting the team in a direction that you're ultimately putting guys in position to win, because his mantra was, we're going to play guards and big men. And I'm like, okay, that's fine, but where is everybody going to play? And he said, well, we'll play, you know, Jared Bayless off the ball, which means the 2-guard spot. You know, Simmons would play power forward and then transition to the point guard eventually. Well, Simmons breaks his foot. He's out for the year. He got another CT scan yesterday and, you know, basically fully confirmed that he's out. Something's wrong with that foot. And goes to show, you had Noel, you've got Embiid, now you've got Simmons. And it's like, when are the Sixers going to have any kind of luck with a draft pick?
Yeah, man, it's sad. I think that some teams just can't draft. Like, I feel like there are some teams who can, like the Spurs and the Thunder. And then you have teams like the Kings, definitely. You just are terrible at drafting. This actually just popped up on my phone just now. The Pelicans just signed Jared Jack to a 10-day contract.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yep. He's healthy now.
Yeah, they definitely want to make some use of him. What do you think about, I hear Darren Williams is actually going to the Cavs.
Now, the thing about Darren Williams is he's got to clear waivers first. So with Utah, they're in the mix to want to pick him up. Denver actually has they need to get to the salary, you know, basically to the salary cap floor, which is the minimum amount that you have to spend. You know, that way the money doesn't get, you know, divvied out to you know, different members on the team. I think they're in play for him. And there was one other team that talked about possibly picking him up, you know, as a waiver claim. And if they do that, then that takes Cleveland out of the running. Andrew Bogut is another one that Cleveland's going after, but they've got Houston kind of in the mix that really wants him as well. But going back to Darren Williams real quick, if he goes to Cleveland, I mean, they get the backup point guard that they wanted. And, you know, basically Darren Williams signs to win a championship. He's already played major minutes this season, so why not the rest of the season say, hey, you know, I'll take the, you know, 18 minutes as, you know, a backup, you know, kind of playing a little combo guard, and until J.R. Smith comes back and you know, get a championship ring possibly.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that he'd be smart to take that step back. And, you know, take kind of like that, like you said, less minutes, because he's obviously less productive now. You know, he's not going to do as much. And I think that a lot of players should start looking at their careers that way. Like, I could play another season or two if I stop playing 30 meaningless minutes and take it down to between 18 and 25. You know, I think that you can add a lot of time to your career. I do think that that will satisfy LeBron as well when he was complaining for a while about them not having a playmaker. I do think that they need to, you know, improve in that area, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. That was their second biggest need. Their biggest need overall is a big man. And Larry Sanders was rumored to have worked out for them, and then basically came out that the legal trouble that he had last year with getting arrested for a felony that no one really knew about, that came out and surfaced. So it doesn't look like he's going to go to the Cavaliers. So the Cavs are basically hoping that Andrew Bogut slides through waivers and they can pick him up there. But I want to go back real quick to Jared Jack. And he had a personal workout kind of session back at the end of January, I think maybe the first week of February, and put on a display for a number of teams. And actually, he's fully healthy. He's a veteran guard that, you know, can really set up the offense. He's not a great three-point shooter, but right now the Pelicans, you know, they need bodies for sure. I just don't know how I feel about Jack sliding in as the third point guard, because he's not really going to play a lot on that 10-day contract unless they, you know, kind of go combo guard with him. But we'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah, that's one I'm really waiting to see, because it's obvious that they want that last that AC right there. And I feel like the Pelicans can get it. You know, it wouldn't shock me. Were there any other moves that really shocked you? I feel like Magic Johnson being, you know, hired to work with the Lakers was just inevitable. It was just going to happen because me being here in L.A., he's too big of a personality. He's too... like, it's kind of almost like his city in a way. He works with the Dodgers, and he's just always in the limelight. Like, it's just his city. And the Clippers are here, and people think that, like, they are clearly better than the Lakers, but this is still a Laker town. You know, the Clippers haven't won anything, so they haven't earned any respect from Laker fans. So as long as they keep losing in the first and second round, this will still be Laker town. So what did you think about Magic getting picked up by the Lakers?
I mean, I think he was posturing long enough for the job that he was going to get it either way. I worry about if Magic ends up having the thoughts that he throws out on Twitter as far as deals for guys, if those actually come to his mind now that he's the president of basketball operations. I hope he has Rob Pelinka, you know, who's just been installed as the GM, there to smack him a few times whenever he thinks Rajon Rondo and that signing to Dallas, that was going to be a great championship move. That was one of the tweets. And you know, there's a number out there that you can basically go back on his timeline and look. But he dealt Lou Williams for Corey Brewer. Tyler Ennis comes in as the third point guard for Marcellus Huertas. He didn't do anything splashy, because I think that they'll wait until the summer to try to unload that Timothy Mozgov contract, and maybe even Lou Alding. They might have to eat something, you know, coming back. But as far as surprise moves, nothing that was really, like, you know, blew me away or anything.
I agree. I feel like I feel like we were like all kind of like waiting for a big deal to happen with the Celtics, and nothing happened. Like, I just was waiting for them to get a notification from Woj saying that the Celtics have found a way to get Jimmy Butler or Paul George, and they just didn't make anything happen. I was kind of disappointed with the Celtics again.
I was disappointed in it, but I knew it wasn't going to happen. The trade enthusiast in me wanted it to happen, but the, you know, basically analyst side of it, you know, side of me wanted it, you know, looked at it as Danny Ainge didn't want to do anything that was going to be a short-sighted move. He was better off saying, okay, let me wait until the draft, or at least until the lottery. We know, okay, we've ended up with the second pick, and it's either Fultz or Lonzo Ball. We can dangle that pick at the draft. We can pick up Paul George because he'll basically be on his last year until he's a free agent. We can somehow convince him to sign long-term and go from there. I think the Jimmy Butler to Boston, I think Boston fans are wanting that a little bit too much. Jimmy Butler has to have the ball in his hands. So does your point guard, Isaiah Thomas. So it's going to be a little tough there to kind of for them to play off of each other. At least with George, you can get him, you know, kind of cutting to the rim, you know, different things like that that Jimmy doesn't necessarily do as much as Paul George does. I think at the NBA draft, you're going to see Boston let go of one of their later picks, maybe a 2019 pick, as well as that wherever that pick falls in the draft, and they're going to end up getting a guy like Paul George. The rumors of Carmelo Anthony, those can just go away.
Yeah,
he is not going to Boston.
If I were Boston, I wouldn't want Melo, to be honest. Because
no,
the Knicks would want you to give up way too much, and Melo, just let's be honest, he's not that valuable. So I wouldn't be breaking my neck to get Melo. You know, I just no.
Yeah. Melo, if I had to make a prediction, basically you're going to see Phil Jackson step down in the offseason, and Melo still have New York, and then some point either in the offseason or at next season's trade deadline, you'll see him team up somewhere, whether it's LA or something like that. But Melo's just not going to walk away from New York. His wife is you know, thoroughly involved in you know, TV work and model work and fashion and stuff like that. So he's got to look at that side of it. He looks at his kids with the schools they're in, you know, really, you know, enthralled in the community there. So it's going to be hard for him to leave. The thing about it for New York, though, is they would be better off if Melo did go somewhere. They can figure out the point guard situation. It's not going to be Derrick Rose going forward, so where do they go? They have to get somebody that can get the ball to Kristaps Porzingis. That's first and foremost. Turn the team over, let it be Porzingis' team, build around him, and call it a day. It may take two seasons
right.
to get back to any kind of relevancy, but you know, they have to do something.
I agree. I feel like they should have done that, like, literally before they did all of this mess. As soon as you draft Porzingis, you see he's good, and okay, this kid has a lot of potential. Build around him. You know, don't bring in Derrick Rose, Courtney Lee, Noah. Leave him alone. Just build. Like, I think that a lot of NBA teams, pretty much none of them, have committed to the rebuild. Like, the Lakers are just now doing it, and they pretty much show me that they are when they didn't make any crazy moves on the trade deadline. I would say the Thunder are the most recent team I can remember that committed to it, and they built through the draft, and they tried to get players in free agency, but nobody ever wanted to go play with them. But then they drafted three of the top 10 players in the league right now. Like, it's insane. If they could have right. kept those players together, they would have an amazing team. But they are one of the most recent franchises to really commit and say, okay, we're going to build this. We aren't going to do anything stupid. We aren't going to throw any money at veterans. We're just going to build. And the Knicks don't seem to want to do that. And now it's coming out that they're trying to trade this person here and there. And if I'm any NBA GM, I don't want any of the players. I mean, Courtney Lee, maybe. But as far as Derrick Rose and Noah, I'm not interested, man. I'm sorry. I don't want that.
Well, that's why Minnesota balked at the last minute. They didn't. I mean, if you're Minnesota, why would you take Derrick Rose to ruin the careers of Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns taking possessions away? Ricky Rubio is perfect for those guys.
Perfect.
And if you're New York, why in the world would you think you're going to get Nemanja Bjelica, which is Tom Thibodeau's like favorite player on the team? Why do you think they're going to throw him in to give, you know, so you can give Derrick Rose away? Like, not going to happen. Then, you know, you've got guys like Brandon Jennings, who hasn't played great this season. Joakim Noah, you're never getting out of that contract. Then you've got Lance Thomas, who's, you know, kind of never passes up a shot. So you've got guys there that just don't fit the team and the culture, you know, just throughout the building is just terrible. You've got the owner, James Dolan, you know, calling and begging guys to come sit with me so it makes it look like I have a good rapport with you. Like, I mean, come on.
It's just a bad look.
I feel bad for Porzingis.
Right? Because I feel like I don't want Porzingis to be another one of those guys that is a great player, but he's stuck in such a bad situation. It's like we can't really see him flourish. You know, I feel like we watched that with Cousins and Anthony Davis for the longest. We just watched great players play with terrible teams, and they'll have these great nights, but we never got to see them in the playoffs, really. We never got to see them really, really compete at that next level. So I don't want that for Porzingis. I really want the Knicks to do something. I don't know what. They need to do something. Something.
Yeah, I don't know really what they have up their sleeves for this offseason, but I predict that Phil Jackson's going to step down. Hopefully, you know, they get somebody in there that can run things, turn it around, and make some quality moves in the offseason. I would move Courtney Lee if you can and get, you know, some young pieces back, maybe. Even somebody that maybe you would think, why did they trade for him? And, you know, somebody that's maybe not as developed and they can develop that player next season a little bit more. Because Courtney Lee, you know, as much as he can help with three-point shooting and a little bit of defense, I mean, he's not going to help you as a starting two-guard on the Knicks long-term. So, you know, get what you can for him and move on and get Porzingis some help.
Yeah, you got to get Porzingis help. So let's just throw out a few predictions as far as some awards go and playoff seeding. I feel like the Eastern Conference is still sort of just up in the air. You know, I have no idea what's going on with any team over there. Like, I feel like if the Cavs were to drop to a second seed right now, it would not shock me. You know, it just seems like it's a lot of turmoil going on the East Coast.
I don't think, I would say Cleveland, no matter what, they're going to finish first. You'll have Boston, you know, finishing second. The key there is going to be, does Toronto, you know, with the Ibaka acquisition and PJ Tucker, do they have enough to climb and stay right at third in the East? Washington will probably drop to 4 or 5. Atlanta will drop or stay at 5. You know, could maybe see them flip-flop with Washington at 4. Indiana, I don't have confidence in Indiana very much. You know, they've lost 6 in a row. I've never liked Nate McMillan as a coach, as a head coach. I just, you know, for everything that they wanted to do, you know, with Miles Turner and being able to run and stuff like that, they've reversed it this year and, you know, slower pace and just not a great basketball team. Chicago, what in the heck did they do at the trade deadline? You know, you give up Doug McDermott and Taj Gibson for basically Cameron Payne, I'm sorry, and basically you're banking on Payne to be your point guard, you know, long term for the franchise, and the kid broke his foot twice, so you're risking things there. You already had MCW, you had Rondo, you had Jerian Grant. You did not need another point guard.
Yeah, that was unnecessary.
Yeah, it just, that doesn't make sense. I could see Chicago dropping out. Really, I had faith that Charlotte would have climbed up in there, but Charlotte's looked bad as of late. They're basically 1-9 out of their last 10 games, so that hasn't looked great. Miami has been sneaky good. They could even climb in there because I think Detroit will climb up to to seventh or even possibly sixth. And Indiana kind of floats in there, maybe seventh or eighth. And then it's going to be anywhere from Milwaukee, Miami, or Charlotte sliding in over Chicago, in my opinion.
Yeah, I really like Milwaukee, man. I think that this may not be the year for them. But in the future, I definitely do see them going places. They just got to make sure they keep Giannis because, I mean, I think
everybody can agree. Oh, they will. He's not going anywhere.
That guy is next level, man. In our All-Star game, just watching him, it was like, this dude is amazing. I am kind of shocked at Indiana, what they did with Paul George. I do feel like he sort of feels a little more on the outs there now. I feel like Paul George now feels like they didn't really keep him in the loop and, you know, tell him, you know, pretty much what was happening behind the scenes. So I think that Paul George might end up departing, but I'm still disappointed in Indiana. They've still been inconsistent. I have no idea where they'll finish. I just don't even think they'll make it in the top four. What do you think about John Wall this season?
He's played really well considering he had, you know, double surgery and wasn't supposed to play till late December, January. He's been exceptional. But even more for that team, the two guys that have stood out and they had to stand out for them to be any good is Otto Porter, you know, in the running for most improved. And then Bradley Beal stepped up. People...
He is finally healthy.
Yeah. I think with Beal, though, like, it was kind of a reality check in the offseason when that whole report came out. John Wall basically, you know, said, well, I don't know how long term we can play together and vice versa. They looked at each other and said, do we want to win or do we want to, you know, bicker and fight against each other? And, you know, they chose to win. And the beginning of the season was awful. And all of a sudden the light bulb clicked on and Scott Brooks got that offense, you know, flowing to look, you know, pretty good. And they're showing some signs. I don't think they make a lot of noise in the playoffs, but you know, it's encouraging going from a team that probably was going to finish, you know, 12 or 13 in the East to probably finishing fourth or fifth.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they'll finish pretty high. I don't know how far they'll get, but I do respect what they've been doing. And even if it's not, the Wizards are like one of those situations where it's just good for down the road. You know, like it may not seem like it's a big deal right now, but them having such a great regular season right now will help because John Wall and Bradley Beal are so young. You want to keep that backcourt together because all the best teams in the league have good backcourts. Klay and Curry, Lillard and McCollum. You know, you have to have two scoring guards pretty much to be successful. Like, and you have to keep those guys together. And it's just great to finally see them actually working well together. As far as the Western Conference, so you really, really believe that the Kings can make that leap to get that, the Pelicans can make that leap to get the AC?
I don't know. I was kind of on the other side of it. I think the Pelicans actually won't. You've got basically in the running, you've got Dallas right there. You've got New Orleans. You've got Portland, Sacramento, and Denver. That's the AC. The rest of the conference is pretty much set. Those are going to be your teams that are in. The order is going to be a little different. The thing about Denver is going to be how far can Nikola Jokic take them? Can Danilo Gallinari get healthy? And what's going to happen with all of the players that they have to find minutes for? You know, you got to keep everybody happy. That's going to be the question mark for them. Sacramento, who's going to be the leader on your team? Can you keep it together enough to make a run and, you know, get into the playoffs? Portland, can you defend? Oof. When are they going to be able to defend? That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, I agree, man. I feel like Portland is just, oh, man, defensively.
They're bad. And then New Orleans is going to be, what else are they going to have besides a great scoring night from Anthony Davis, a phenomenal, you know, night from DeMarcus Cousins, and, you know, a 20-point night, you know, 8 assists from Drew Holiday. Who else is going to step in and give you anything? those three together aren't going to be able to lead you to many wins. They're going to have help. Dallas, how well is Nerlens Noel going to fit in? Can Yogi Ferrell, you know, capitalize on getting the starting point guard spot now? Is Wes Matthews going to be able to stay healthy? Is Dirk going to be able to play, you know, major minutes down the stretch to push them into the playoffs? Those are all question marks. Minnesota's right there, but Minnesota, they're not getting in the playoffs. They need to focus on just, you know, keeping Wiggins and Towns, you know, fed and hope for next year that LaVine comes back healthy and, you know, they can figure out what to do with Rubio in the offseason.
Yeah, I like your point on the Timberwolves, man. Definitely. They really, really have to keep that core together. I think they're sort of in the same position as the Lakers, where they have a lot of young talent. And they may not be winning now, may not be great now, but if those guys can kind of stay together and, you know, kind of tough through it, those will be the premier teams in the league soon, you know, because, like I said, they have so much youth. And, of course, the LaVine's injury was crazy. But one thing I definitely want to ask you about is the Thunder. What do you think about the trade they made, getting Gibson and McDermott?
The Gibson move is phenomenal. Really a veteran leader, is going to help them do a lot of things, you know, different intangible type things that don't necessarily show in the box score. And then he'll get you things that show in the box score. Cantor is, I believe, coming back tonight as well, so that'll be a big help for them. You know, that's basically like another addition to the rotation. And then McDermott is basically able to fill that small forward spot. And I would not be shocked if you saw McDermott start some games. In other games, depending on matchups, Roberson starts there. Because now Westbrook, when he gets in trouble, he has somebody to throw it to on the perimeter that can actually knock down that shot and you know, play consistent minutes. So definitely a win for Oklahoma City. I don't know what Chicago was thinking.
Yeah, Chicago was kind of out of the loop, man. So as far as this, this is kind of like our good halfway point. Let's talk about awards. Who do you have as your MVP right now?
It's still James Harden. I've had James Harden from, you know, from the jump. And Harden just makes his teammates better, you know, able to, you know, score at will. He's even, you know, defended a little bit better, not anything great or even an average defender, but he's looked better than he has in the past. And he's just engaged. And Houston's making a run. They want that second seed in the West. And, you know, they could very well get it if San Antonio decides to rest some guys, you know, going into the latter part of the season. They could push for that second seed. And what a heck of a matchup would it be for Houston to play Oklahoma City in the first round? That would be a really cool matchup to see.
Yeah, that would be really, really good, man. That would be really good. So who do you have for sixth man? For sixth man, for me, I still, for MVP, obviously James Harden. It's not even up for debate right now. People say Westbrook, but I don't think that he leads his team well enough to be the MVP. I feel like Harden has done a better job at that. And this season has really showed me that people love stats more than they love winning. Like stats look better to fans than winning does. You know, and that just, it doesn't make sense to me. But for sixth man, I have Eric Gordon. I feel like him being there with James Harden is just the perfect situation for both of them. And we saw him shooting like crazy at the three-point contest. Like, Eric Gordon is playing a really good season, probably his best ever.
Yeah, and Mike, when your head coach comes out and says Lou Williams, who was they were going toe-to-toe, that Williams is now going to be the seventh man, so it's pretty much a lock for Eric Gordon to win the award. I mean, you got to go with Eric Gordon. I don't think there's any really other candidate at this point.
Yeah, I totally agree. Defensive player of the year, I feel like it's definitely Draymond's to lose right now.
Absolutely. I mean, Rudy Gobert's played great, but Draymond, the record they have, you know, just the ability for Draymond to play multiple positions is the key. You know, gives nightmares to, you know, one, you know, basically every all five positions on the floor he could guard, really. Gobert, you know, just not there yet. I like his, you know, defensive ability. Just it's got to be Draymond Green. So I fully agree.
Yeah, I feel like this season with the awards, it won't be too many surprises. But the Westbrook versus Harden, that one will be hilarious, man. That whole debate will be very entertaining to see on a timeline.
Absolutely. Now, one award that might be interesting now is Rookie of the Year, because Embiid is out indefinitely. They're saying definitely the next four games that he's going to miss. You know, could potentially miss a few more, but if he doesn't play half of the games on the season, you've really got to take a strong look at, you know, his teammate Dario Saric. You've got Malcolm Brogdon over in Milwaukee. You know, those are two guys that you know, really could come on strong and win that award. Even a guy like, I wish he was playing more minutes, like Jamal Murray, you know, could have been in that conversation. But I think, you know, Dario Saric has a real shot to win it if Embiid misses too many games.
I know, right? Rookie of the Year is kind of up in the air, man. It's, Oh, I don't know. But honestly, even with Embiid missing games, is it bad that I still want him to win? I feel like he's been the most.
I'm the same way. I'm a Sixers fan, and I want him to win. So.
Yeah, he just deserves it. Like he's so entertaining. Like, I think as long as he can stay healthy, he'll be like one of the like the next Shaq, because he's so entertaining. You just love to watch him. You just wanna witness him out there on the floor, and it's just great to watch, man. Like today, I feel like Sixers fans have like been reborn again or something. Like I saw him win a game and he went and danced with the cheerleaders. Like it was great to see.
It's exciting to finally see what, you know, myself included as Sixers fans, you know, we had to struggle through for a couple of seasons. Unfortunately, I don't have the biggest faith in Brian Colangelo. I just think that, you know, going back to his Toronto days, he has a very, very much an arrogance about himself. And he feels like, you know, he's always trying to get the best, you know, out of something. You know, it's kind of what he says, you know, on the surface. But behind the scenes, he's trying to, you know, undercut and do things that I don't necessarily agree with. And instead of, you know, being a straight shooter and just saying, look, you know, Ben Simmons is going to be out. It's not going to, you know, not really going to be something that we can look for this year for him to get in the lineup, you know, 3 months ago, that would have really, you know, established, okay, this is, you know, in Sixers fans' minds, this is something we'll have to wait till next year. But no, he's like, well, no, things are progressing. Da, da, da. And they knew the bone scan, you know, wasn't great the last time. So now to come out yesterday, he finally admitted that he's out for the season. You know, you can't pull off a deal for Okafor. He was basically begging to go to Chicago. Somehow, some way, if Chicago was willing to give away Doug McDermott and Taj Gibson for Cameron Payne, then you damn well could have got McDermott and some other piece for Okafor. At least I would have loved to see McDermott on the Sixers and you know, get some minutes there. But you know, we'll see what happens going forward. I'm just not a huge fan of Colangelo's.
Yeah, man, I agree. I feel like it's some shady stuff going on. Why not just let him sit out? Because with that injury, I feel like it's so dangerous. If you come back too soon, you can hurt yourself again, and it'll just prolong it. Just let him stay out the whole year like Embiid did, and we see him in the summer league again. He can go there and play, and then next year he'll be able to play, and bam, he won Rookie of the Year and everything. Everybody's happy.
Now, next year he's going to have some competition for Rookie of the Year. I don't know that he went –
yeah,
that's gonna be a dog fight.
That just the draft alone, I'm so excited, man. I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm hyped.
I'm hyped to see what teams will ruin it. Like,
oh yeah. Foreign guy is going to get picked, you know, in the lottery, and it's going to screw everything up. That he's going to come out of nowhere.
Oh, hey, that happens. That's been happening literally, what, the last three or four drafts? It just seems like they just have to take one. They have to take one of those guys. But and it would be interesting to see. But, man, that's a good show, Pete. Thanks you for coming on, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. Always happy to talk hoops with you.
All right.